Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all on this very sunny day. Finally, summer is doing what it's supposed to. I want to share with you a story, and if you have your Bibles, you can open it up to the book called Acts. Acts chapter 1. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Now, it won't be on screen today, so if you have a Bible, grab it. You can use it. If you don't, grab someone who has got one, or just look on the internet. You can type in Google, Acts chapter 1, and it'll come up. Believe it or not, Google knows everything. So we're in Acts chapter 1, and the book of Acts was written by someone called Acts. Yeah, Kevin is always the old classic line. Written by a guy called Luke. Luke is a doctor, really clever guy, and he wrote this book actually with us in mind, people who aren't Jewish. And so it's as you read this book, you might find, culturally, you might find it easier to read. But it's, anyway, excellent, Book of Acts. So Jesus has lived his life, 30-odd years. He has healed people, he has helped people on the margins, he's done it all, and he has just died on a cross-shaped tree for you. Not for your sins, but for you. That means that because he loves you, he died for you. And everything that comes after that is just a byproduct of the fact that he loves you. So he died for you, and your sins are forgiven as a byproduct of that love. Oh, that's deep. So he's just down because, and check this out, he rose again. Yeah, hashtag Miracle Sunday, right? Hashtag spoiler. He rose again from the dead in his own strength. Because he is God, so he can do that kind of thing. He can also perfectly flip a pancake every time. That's how much of like God he is. And so he's walking with his disciples, and he's now ready to leave earth and go to heaven, where he waits in this divine realm until he will one day return. So we're kind of somewhere between the book of Jude and Revelation right now. That's where we are. We're kind of living in that space, if you know what those books are. So here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 says this. So when the apostles, that word means kind of leader. So if you think about it, that, or disciple. So when the disciples were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel? I want you to remember that. Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Asking a perfectly good question. Jesus replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we see that the Father alone knows what's going on. Jesus is the Son. That's the way we gain access to the Father. And it's the Spirit that is with us now that helps us to become more like Jesus. See what God's doing here? He's providing everything that we need for life and godliness. The Spirit will give you power, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and Skemmersdale. After this, he was taken up into a cloud where they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Very, very interesting little passage. I'm going to take this passage, I'm going to twist it a little bit, and I'm going to show you what God wants to say to us in the next mini season as a community. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, so the next series we're looking at is Acts. It's all about how we can act our faith, how we can get on top of our faith and do what we feel is in our heart to do. We want to get bums off seats. We want to march into our scattered places and create moments of divinity, moments of grace, moments of hope, wherever we are. And then when we come back together on Sundays, we can share stories, sing, celebrate, and get re-equipped for then, for the week ahead. Jesus isn't here anymore. Well, he is, you know, he's in here, you know, faith. But he's not here anymore. And he's left his mission with us. And he actually says to his disciples, when they ask him, what you're going to do next, he said, well, actually, you're going to be my witness, he says. You're going to be my witness. You're going to tell people about me. That's what he just said. He said, this is what you're going to do, you know. So that when you come downstairs all dressed and your wife says, oh, you're wearing those clothes, are you? You know, you kind of know. Okay, I'm just going to turn around. Maybe flip-flops aren't conducive in winter. Lord, has the time come? Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Do you know what? The disciples give me so much hope because I am so stupid. And then when I read the Bible with the apostles, they just had no clue, even though it was right in front of them. God gives me hope, friends, that I too, a simple boy who went to deanery with 10 GCSEs, can still do something with his life. They still thought Jesus was this military leader, someone who was going to come down and free, because at the time, Israel was under Roman oppression, basically. Anyone seen the film Gladiator? It's great. Watch it if you're of age. It's a brilliant film. So they were under Roman occupation, suffering actually at the hands of these invaders, these oppressors. They still thought that the grace of God was just for them. And I think we can all fall in that trap sometimes. The grace of God is for anyone. Jesus, what are you going to do next? Throwing it back, the responsibility back on him. What are you going to do? He's just spent flipping years and years and years healing the sick, teaching, doing everything he could to set these guys up for the future, and they still don't get it. He even told them before this point that he was going away, that he's not staying, that he's going to entrust the mission to them, and they still didn't get it. The responsibility is not on Jesus, it is now on the disciples to live as Jesus modeled. Jesus is saying to our community today, it's our time and it's our turn. So run. That's what he's saying to you. It's your time, it's your turn. If I were to ask you what's the time, you could tell me, right? Let's shout the time out for me. 22, what is it, 11:41? I've got 11:42, I'm a minute ahead. That's it. It's easy, isn't it? But what if I asked you to tell me what the times are like these days? You can tell me what time it is because it's definitive, but if I ask you what the times are like, I get a very different answer because there's a difference. What if I asked you your age? Half of you would lie. I know you. Knock a few years off. What if I ask you your age? You could say it, you know, 17, 25, 192. You could say it, but if I asked you what's the age we're living in right now, it'd be very different, right? Because although they are the same definition, they are the same sort of type of question, actually they're totally different. Because you could be 17, but yet be having the worst time of your life so far. You could be 55, and the age you're living in is an age of prosperity and giving, where you've just got wealth, so much wealth that you're just giving out knowledge, money. It might be a great season for you. So there's two types of questions. We only have control over one of them. You cannot control the time, but you can define the time you're in. Do you get it? You cannot control the time, but you can define the time that you're in. Walt Disney said, growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. True that, isn't it? See, you can't control your age, but you can define the age that you will live in. You can define the age for those around you. See, if you live in a time of uncertainty, bring certainty wherever you are. If you're in a time of poverty, create wealth wherever you are. If you're in a time that's tough, create a sense of ease and opportunity for everyone else around you. Change it, flip it. If we're living in an age that is unspiritual, then it's time to open our eyes to what God is doing and say, God, what do you want me to do to help my neighborhood? You see it? You see it? You define the time. You define the age. Now, we are about to embark. We have embarked, actually. Choo-choo! The train has left the station. We're about to embark on a brand new building project. Well, we have done anyway. Now, that building there, no holy water has been sprinkled on it. There's a lot of rain and a bit of mud because they're doing the grounds at the minute. Oh, and a big shout out, right? Just press pause. For all the guys that came down yesterday and pulled up them flipping weeds and made it look great out there, thank you. You got your hands dirty so other people can come on, can come in and get their hands cleaned. I love it. In fact, for all you volunteers, you're great. Give yourself a pat on the back. You make this happen. Thank you. Genuinely, thank you so much. And so we're about to go into that new building, but that's just a building, man. The building didn't pay for itself. The people paid for the building. We are the people. The people who only come 1 in 8. They're still the people in this community. And they will enjoy that facility and use it. But it's not... That's a way to define our age in Wigan. That's our way to define the time in Wigan. It's our moment here right now to create a destination for anyone and everyone, poor, rich, young, old, whoever they are, to come into a building that is so welcoming and so accepting that they can get their life turned around by the presence of Jesus. We are literally creating a spiritual presence in this time, in this town, that will last generations. So when you're gone, when I'm gone, our kids, our kids' kids, and all the spiritual babies that we're going to raise will enjoy that building and build on it and create something special in this town that hasn't been created before. We are defining an age. It's our time and it's our turn. See what we're doing? See what we're building here? It's our time. It's our turn. And we, if something is going wrong, you can change it. If you're not happy with something, you can change it. You can. If there's a broken family relation, you can change it. You can. If there's something going on at work that is seems like it's beyond your control, you can change it. You can define a different age where you work, where you live, where you learn. If you're anxious, you can change it. I know that makes you worried, but you can change it. The best analogy I have of this is of a baton. So me and a Cuban were cutting up a load of batons yesterday. His name's Roberto. So a couple of load of batons. Well, it's just a bit of PVC pipe, actually, but you get the idea. It's a baton. Now, you see, when you look at the story of Acts, it's actually the moment. You ever seen a relay race? Does everyone know what I'm talking about? You know, where they pass the baton, they go, run, and they take it, and then they leg it, and they give it, and they just keep passing this baton, because the baton explodes after 2 minutes. So, this is actually Jesus handing over the baton to his disciples. And this is what he's doing with us. See, when you encounter something of God, he hands you a baton, and he asks you to run. He says, it's your turn now. I've ran this. It's your turn. Let me illustrate it further. I need some volunteers. And all the people that know me best are now trembling in the seats. The power in this room right now. How many people do I need? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I need 7 volunteers. Anyone want to volunteer? To put it in perspective, I need 5 blokes and 2 women. That's what I need. Anybody? Any takers? Do you want me to pick? Do you want me to pick? Right, come on, Niffy. Come on, my friend. Well done. Come on. James, in the spirit of what we're talking about in small group on Thursday night, you can come up as well, my friend. Come on. You can come up. That's it. I'm going to choose Matthew. Come on, Matthew. Jump up. Yeah, that one. Not the one. Thank you, brother. Okay, how many do I have? Okay, any more? Any more? Cam, I'm going to pick on you. Youth leader extraordinaire. Come on stage. That's it. That's it. What logo is that on your shirt?
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. Disgraceful. Go Panthers. Okay, I'll go 5. And then I need someone else. And I'm going to choose... Come on, Tony. Come on. You get up on this stage. That's it. Now we need 2 women. Any takers? Anybody doing CrossFit at the minute that wants to take part in this? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay, I have to choose Catherine because she knows I'm going to pick on her. And we've got JT. Come on, Gene. Come on down. That's it. Excellent. Right, I'm going to ask you. Right, I need to get you in order. So, Tony, you're going to go last, okay? So you just stay there, okay? And we're just free-forming here, guys. Okay, and you two lovely ladies, if you jump between Cam and Matt, you stand there. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Great. Okay, now I want you all, Shashi, can we move these out of the way, please? Come on, Mr. Biscuits. That's it, move them out of the way, that's it. Okay, now watch your legs on this front row, okay? Watch your legs. Can you all jump down? Is that all right? If you guys jump down, that's great. Okay, here we go, here we go. Okay, now you guys, you're in a relay race. Guess what the prize is? You get to keep the baton. Divide it seven ways and then you can keep it. Okay, so here we have Adam, Abraham, Matt, if you scooch over to this side, sorry. Adam, Abraham, Esther, Mary, which is really surprising because at the Christmas presentation you played Mary. Wow, okay. Now, you're Jesus. Okay. That's a lot to live up to. And you, Tony, you're Peter. Okay? You actually look how I thought Peter would look in the Bible. And Matt, you represent all of us. Okay? Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, in a minute, I want you to run around this way, run around all the way that section, and come down here, okay? And then you're going to pass the baton on to Abraham. Look good, mate, Sarah's watching. Are you going to pass the baton to him, and if it, you get to just kind of like, just chill, just be you, just do you, just come on stage and just hang. And then, again, you're going to pass until we finally get to Matthew. Okay, you got it? Okay, so here's the relay race. Should we do like a 3-2-1 go? Come on, let's join in. You ready? 3-2-1
go!
So God hands the baton to Adam, and he says to Adam, go forth and multiply. You see, God creates man in his image, so we're all made in his image. And so he does, he messes it up a little bit, but that's okay, God's grace causes it. Right, so this is Abraham. So he said to Abraham, you look at the stars, this will be your family, you'll create a nation, a movement, and then it somehow gets passed to Esther. And Esther absolutely flipping legs it. She goes for it because she wants to protect her people, she wants to stand up for the oppressed, for the people she cares most about, and somehow it ends up with Mary. And so Mary begins to run. And God says, you're going to have a son, and this son will be the savior of the world, the Messiah. And so she runs with the baton keeping and raising this child. And then it finally gets to Jesus. It gets to Jesus, the man himself. So he spent 30 years growing up, because it takes that long to become a man and mature, and start watching Netflix all the time and do the washing, until he finally hands it to Peter. Oh, he's an angry man. And he runs with anger. But he loves it, because he's running for his life, because Jesus saved his soul. And somehow, 2,000 years later, it ends up with us. Well done, Matthew. Come up on stage. Well done. So you see, the Bible is actually a relay race. Do you get it? When you look at scriptures, you've got to read it like a relay. Because actually, it's the same baton. See this baton here? This baton is the redemption of everyone you know. It is the hope for humanity. And from the day God said, let there be light, the baton hasn't changed an inch. You see, it is the same as it was. You've all jumbled up, but that's okay. It was the same as it was that it was with Mary and with Niffy. I forgot who you were, but you're the same baton. All the way back to where Jesus was present in those times. It is the same baton. You have the same baton, the same power. The same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Don't live in fear. Don't live oppressed. Don't live depressed. You have the same baton. Thanks, guys. Good job. Thank you. I really appreciate you. It is the same
baton. The Bible is a relay race. If you have decided to follow God, what then are you holding? Is it the baton? Is it the power? Is it a new life? Is it really? And if you can turn around to me and say yes, amazing. It's your time. It's your turn. All these amazing guys in Scripture, Joshua, Ruth, and the 500 million other Marys that are in the New Testament, all of them ran with a baton. And somehow, through reformation, after popes, after church splits, after all religious figures and movements, somehow the baton has ended up in the hands of a bunch of people in Wigan. What are we going to do with it? See, the baton is the most important element in a relay race. It's not the runner, if you think about it, because I thought it was. Because if a runner is the fastest on the field and they get to the finish line but aren't holding the baton, they've lost. Think about it. That happens so many times. See, so many times, time after time after time, where people who get first to the finish line find that actually they've lost. They've lost friends. They've lost integrity. They've lost their mind. How then is it that we should hold on to that baton in every step that we take with fervor and passion, without restraint? We carry the redemptive love that God pours out on us. How then in every season we must hold on to it? Next week, we're going to give you all a baton. So we're going to give you one for £5. No, we're going to give you one. We're going to give you one. And we're going to do something. I'm going to get you to do something significant with this. So next week, we're going to do that. If you've ever asked yourself, what's my purpose? If you ever asked yourself, what's my purpose? What am I here to do? I'm going to guide you in a way that will help you answer that question. So that after next week, you can know the baton that I'm running with is for this, for my work, my career, my education, my future. I'm going to help you do that. So come back, grab a baton. And maybe if you have a friend who isn't here, or maybe they don't come anymore, bring them back, because everyone will get one of these. You know, if you drop the baton in the Olympics, you're not disqualified. Did you know that? As a fellow Olympian myself, I know all the rules. And so, so if you drop the baton, you're not disqualified. In fact, you're only disqualified if you take a step back. The way they term it, I can't remember. It's like lose something, lose ground or something. Like, I can't remember. But it basically causes them to go further away from the finish line. That's the only time it's disqualified. So if you drop the baton and it flies off that way, the kind of race is over. But initially, if you drop the baton, you're not disqualified. And it's only the same with God. If you drop the baton, you're not disqualified. In fact, you probably have dropped it, as I have. It's got scuffs, it's got marks, it's got dirt, if you're from Hockley Hall. It's got dirt on it. As a local reference. It's been dropped many times, but that doesn't disqualify us. The baton never breaks. The baton never bends. The baton is the love of God that has lasted from minus however long up until now. You can't destroy it. You can't break it. You've just got to keep yourself right so that you can always run with it. All right, three things that take runners out, and then I'll finish. I've only got a few minutes left. Three reasons why people drop the baton. They get tired, they get injured, or they get distracted. Those are the three reasons that I've just kind of had people in my mind and looked back over so long. I think tiredness, injury, and distraction are the three. There are others, but they're the three biggest ones that kind of trip us up and cause us to drop the baton. So how do you stop the drop? How do you stop the drop? Tiredness. It's simple. Rest. See, what I love in Scripture, and I'm going to show you this next week, is something Paul says where he says, well done, you've finished the race, you've kept the faith, you've finished the race. That's what he says. So the two things, if you're in here, don't matter who you are, don't matter what your vision is for your life, the two things Paul says is you keep the faith and you finish the race. Because if you do that, you finish the race with baton in hand. It's not about who gets there first, it's about finishing, because God has a plan for your life. In a relay, you don't run in groups, you run single lane. And so I know you're running in a single lane. So it doesn't matter who's doing what, how fast people are running, whether you're in a sprint season or a slow season, it's about keeping the faith and finishing. I'll tell you more about that next week. So you've got to finish the race. So it's okay to rest. It's okay to stop and have a biscuit, an illustrative biscuit. It's okay, you know, to stop sometimes and just relax. It's okay not to always think about this stuff. It's okay because that's the way we work, and God knows that. Jesus said once while he was around, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary. All you who are tired." This is what it actually says. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Rest. If you're tired, rest. Turn to someone and say, rest. Rest. See what he says? See what he says? He said, says this, come to me and you'll recover. Where else do you hear the word recover? Oh, in sports. And, oh yeah, hospital, yeah. In a hospital. Because what do? You recover your health. Because it's a time to pick up the stuff that you've dropped. It's a time to recover the purpose that you started with so long ago. But because it's been so long, you've just got a little bit weary. It's time to stop. Just enjoy what God has given you. Yeah. Recover, recover. Okay, so secondly, injured. What do you do if you get injured, apart from complain and refuse to go to the NHS? Because it's a breaking point, you know, what do you do? Okay, yeah, rest, fair enough, yeah, rest. But part of that is a prescription that the doctor gives you. Now, what you need now is 2 decades rest. What you need now is this. You go and see a doctor. I had the honor of sitting down with someone a time back who was talking about their journey with mental health. They were saying for a number of years previously to our conversation that they had suffered from anxiety, depression. At one point, they were suicidal. Hello, that's someone in here. And they were talking about all these things that they really had to walk through and go through. And they came to a lift night. Lift is a prayer night here that we have on a Tuesday night where you and God can come and just chill, just hear from the Holy Spirit and just relax. No kids. If you don't have kids, you're not at work, you're not at home. She said, you know what, that has really dramatically changed my circumstance. Having just 90 minutes once a month to come and just hear from God. And this is one thing that God said to her. God said this. Jesus is your psychiatrist. It's what she knew that God told her. Jesus is your psychiatrist. Now, she'd been to see psychiatrists, and things weren't going so great. So she started to think about it and dwell on it, and she started to ponder it and let it sit in her and let it take ground and root and grow. I'm happy to say now that she ain't anxious anymore. She's not depressed anymore. It took time. In fact, she is one of the finest examples of what a young woman can do with faith and hard work. She is growing and she's in the best season of her life, where now she's starting to tell others about her journey and that there is hope. You are never in a place that is hopeless. Why? Because she's got this. Jesus is your psychiatrist. He's also your doctor. He's also your agony aunt. He's also your dating service. Listen, pray to Jesus if you're single, okay? He'll sort you out. If I bagged one, flipping heck, anyone can, all right? There's hope. There's always hope, people. There's hope with Jesus, you know. Lastly, distracted, tired, injured, distracted. And we pick up injuries from all sorts of stuff. That's sort of self-afflicted. We stumble. It's just naturally we pick up niggles. You know, I don't want to stretch the analogy too far. Lastly, distracted. We often get distracted. Something better just comes along sometimes, or what looks better, and we think it's worth that more than it is this, especially when it comes to self-control, which I am rubbish at. As often something more attractive comes along, something that is more alluring, something that you just naturally just want. But you have to understand that in order to last the distance, you have to fight against distraction. And so how do you do that? It's dead simple. You hold the baton close to your chest. In fact, more than that, you hold the baton close to your heart. In fact, that baton should be so close to your chest that your heartbeat can go through it. You see, runners on the field, they sprint like that. I want to get gold. I'm going to sell it online. WeBuyAnyGold.com. I want to get it. And they're swinging their arms for leverage and speed. But that's not how we run. We run like this. Because the very thing that saved us at first is the thing that saves us time and time again. The most treasured possession we have is the love of God that we found either a week ago, 10 years ago, a million years ago. It doesn't matter. We keep it close to our heart. That's why in the Bible people say guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life, because everything comes from that, right? So you've got to hold God close to your heart. And I love this. In Acts chapter 1, let's go back. It says this, verse 8. But you will receive power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, when you're filled with this Holy Spirit, you become powerful. Yes. What do you mean, like Batman? No, not Batman. It's different. It's because you can't, like, shoot bullets out of your head and stuff. It's because you are full with power. Get it? Power, full. You are full of God. Yeah. What is God? Oh, one expression. If let's go to the Greek, let's do it. Greek words, dunamis, which is power. It's a Greek word meaning power. It is also a word to describe the Holy Spirit. He is power. If you are tired, injured, in fact, let me pause it there. Jesus said this, Matthew 11:28. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Noting you can rest and walk at the same time. You can rest and work at the same time. Real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Love that. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and live lightly. In a relay race, they don't give you 5 bags of sugar to catch. Oh, that would be great. They give you a baton. And a baton is always hollow. It's always light. And that's what God gives us. Because he did all the heavy work. Get it? He did all the heavy work. So what comes at your doorstep is light. You don't need to carry what you've got. You've got to give it to him. Come to me, he said. And this is the key. As we've talked today about it being my time and my turn, it all starts with grabbing the baton. Okay? Now, I want to pray for people, especially those who are tired, injured, and distracted. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to go and enjoy the rest of the day together. My time is coming to an end. But as we do that, I'd love you to stand. Just so I know you're not painted any eyes on your eyelids and they're actually shut, but I don't know. If you're able to stand, stand with me. I don't want any music at this point because I don't want to overinflate or make this over emotional, because I think sometimes when you are honest, it's better to do it in an environment where you can just think. And so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to think for a minute. But here's what I want to say. For some of you, you picked up the baton and you dropped it at some point, and you feel like now is the season in your life where you need to pick it up, where you're saying it's my time and it's my turn. Some of you are running with the baton, phenomenal. Some of you have never heard of this baton. You've never heard someone talk about a baton or say the word baton so many times in the space of half an hour. But you have a choice today whether you want to carry that too. Are you tired? Have you picked up an injury? Are you distracted today? Do you feel like you've been doing all the work and nothing's been going right? Do you feel like there's something that you've been carrying for so long that is just limiting you? And do you feel like something else has taken priority over God in your life? And now you are feeling the effects. It takes time for the tide to go out, but when it's out, all you feel is dryness. And you're now stood in a place of dryness and you want to get back to that ocean. I had just some stuff to say as I was praying about this, because you pray a lot when you do a message. You also have to live it out before you speak it. So that's what it takes time to prepare. But there's just three people I had in my mind. There's a woman, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to put you to the front, I don't even know your name. There's a woman in here who's struggling with diabetes, and God just wants to heal you today. He just wants to kind of set you free from that. You may have brought it on yourself, it might be hereditary, don't matter, you can free from that. I remember praying last week for a young lad who had IBS, just flared up all of a sudden. And I remember we prayed that in 20 minutes it would go, and it went in 20 minutes, which is quite specific, you know. So, and he's not had a problem since. I think there's a few students in here that are worried about exam results, specifically maths and art. God wants to say to you, I've got your future. The paper doesn't. So he's going to be here for you. And that it doesn't matter the result. You either earn it back or that you'll find a way. He wants you to know that he's with you, okay? So I don't know who that's to. And lastly, there's a few lads in here struggling with illicit material. Maybe you've been watching things online, on your phone or whatever, but it's really a habitual thing and you've tried to break the cycle time and time again. And God just wants to invade your life and just get rid of that. Just say, no more. You're not that guy. You're my son. He wants to heal those wounds inside that cause you to go to broken places. And I hope you don't mind me just being blunt like this. And I respect that you know the temperature in the room. But I think sometimes it's good just to be normal. And it's good just to admit some stuff. And God just really wants to give you that baton back. Because the reality is, when you grab the baton, he gives you real rest. He allows you to walk with him and work with him. So I'm just going to pray that for you. So those six things, tired, injured, distracted, and those three individuals or people that I talked about. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands in just a minute, and then I just want to pray for you. So if you feel tired in a minute, if you just feel like you're being distracted, if you feel you're injured, if you've got that physical sickness, or maybe any physical sickness, let's just call it as it is. I want to get rid of anything in your body. Let's just pray together now. If you are really worried about your exam results and what's going on over the next few months, They'll pray for you. And anyone struggling in here with an addictive need for kind of that illicit material, then I want you to just lift your hands now. I'm going to pray for everyone, and then we're gonna just finish up, okay? So all heads bowed, hands up in the air, just wherever you are. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you come to him, debts are cancelled, mistakes are undone, and you can walk free. Okay, there might be consequences, but there's grace. And God will help you move through that process. So just once again, there's a couple more who haven't raised their hands yet. So just lift your hands. That's it. It's great. Just be encouraged. The same. If you have a problem today, it is the same problem that has existed since the dawn of time, okay? It's no shame. So just lift your hand. There's a couple more. I want you to respond. I want us to do business. I want us to walk. Well, that's great. Loads of people lifting their hand for all sorts of reasons. Come on, everyone, let's pray for these people. Father God, we just pray for our men and our women and our children. Lord, we pray that they would pick up the baton and they would run a race that is marvelous. Father, that every sign of oppression, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, you would get out in the name of Jesus. You know, faith is so simple that when we simply believe that it's true, it is. And we believe what is true is your healing of these bodies, healings of these minds, healings of these situations. And for all those that are the hands lifted, I just want you to just open up your heart and I want you to say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. Hey, come on down. Live in me. Fill them with your power. And just bless them, God. They're good people. I want you to fill their life. Make them prosperous. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Hey, God's done an amazing work today. If you're in here and you have never heard this before, and I'm well out of time, but if you've never heard this before about Jesus and you've never made a decision, I want you to go and see a group of people, and I want these group of people to wave. Welcome team, wherever you are, can you just wave? Just let everyone know you are. Welcome team, that's it, wave. Look around. If you want to talk to someone about God and you just think, I have just loads of questions, if you go to the bottom of the street, the corridor there, some of them are there, and they just love to sit with you, pray with you, talk to you. If you need prayer for anything, don't come to me because I'm not a professional. Go to your friend. They have as much faith as I do. So go and see someone about it. Pray together. Stand together. I'm not going to text you when the night is dark. They will. So go and find the support you need. Go and get the help you need. And you will run a race that you never thought you could run. Okay, heavy stuff done, right? Heavy stuff done. But listen, this next series is going to be defining, not simply because it's focused and it's specific on us living out our faith, but I really believe it is our actual time. It is our turn. In the last, there hasn't been a project like this within a church community in our town for 100 years. Come on now, 100 years. That was when the Nokia was first invented. That was so long ago. We have a moment in time to change something, to do something. And over the next 6 to 7 weeks, we're going to be calling out of your comfortability, calling out of your weakness, calling out of the instability, and saying it's your time, it's your turn, you can do it. And I'm telling you, when we walk into that new building and we've armed you with stuff and we're ready to go, you just wait and see what God is going to do. You just wait and see that the schools are going to change, that the government's going to change, that our situations, that the poverty is going to change. Come on, somebody, that something is going to change because we took ownership and we said it's our time and it's our turn.